morning. Try and reserve my voice, but we'll see how this goes anyway. The title I have here on my first slide is, of course, The Man in the Myrtle Trees, as you can see there, hopefully, which is a reference to the reading from Zechariah chapter 1 this morning, starting in the 7th verse, where he has a secondary vision, or a secondary communication anyway, with the Lord, and in this vision he sees a man in the myrtle trees. And what that man in the myrtle trees is offering, basically what a lot of the book of Zechariah is offering, is a second chance for the people of Israel. I mentioned earlier when I did the reading that the book of Zechariah takes place after or towards the end of the exile of Israel. Israel has been exiled, or the Jews have been exiled from Israel for 70 years, and they now have an opportunity to go back and to retake the land that they were told, if you keep my commands, you will live long and prosper in this land, have many great things you experience there. So again, near Zechariah, at the end of that period there, and they're offered this opportunity, and the man in the myrtle tree is one aspect of that, where he's told that the whole world is in a time of peace right now, and it's time for Israel to have a second chance, or a third chance, a fourth chance. That idea is not unique to the Israelites there in Zechariah. We have several examples of second chances throughout the Bible, of course. That's in large part what the Bible is all about. In 1 Samuel 24 and 16 through 19, we have David giving Saul a second chance, and Saul in turn giving David a second chance. Again, 1 Samuel 24:16, as soon as David has finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And of course, the words that David had spoken to Saul had gone into a cave, I believe it was, to relieve himself, and David was back in the back of the cave, and his men said, "Go kill him, he's right here, he's all by himself, you kill him, you become the king." And David says, "I'm not going to do that." And so Saul comes out of the cave, and then David says, "Saul, I had the chance to kill you here, but you are the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to take the Lord's anointed life." And all these great things that David says to Saul in that situation. And Saul's response again is that your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I repaid you evil. And you have declared this day how you have dealt well with me, in that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For if a man finds an enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day." And the idea that second chances it should be over there. I'll say it now. I have a picture, and I was doing a little research online. A picture kept popping up, and it just skipped it. Says, "Sometimes giving someone a second chance is like giving them an extra bullet for their gun, since they missed you the first time." And in the example of David and Saul, that is very much the case, because Saul, he has a momentary, I'm so sorry, you're my son, what have I done to you? But it doesn't last. He goes back to his ways of trying to get David. He does acknowledge in the Samuel here, he acknowledges, I think, after the verses I have here, he acknowledges that David is the Lord's anointed. David is his replacement, and yet he doesn't stick with that. He has a second chance here. David gives Saul a second chance, and Saul uses that to in the immediate future for good. But eventually he goes back to his old ways. He returns to his pre second chance ways. In 2 Kings, we have another example, chapter 20. We have the example of Hezekiah, who was king. 2 Kings 20, "In those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover.' Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done all what is good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly." The weeping seems to be a theme here. "Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, 'Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, Thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Here we have, I think it's a nice little tie-in. It isn't necessarily specifically intended this way, but I just read from the David, a story of David giving Saul a second chance. We have recorded several times that David was a man after God's own heart. There, all things and everything David did, he I think it said somewhere, the only sin was in the killing of killing of Uriah, that adultery with Bathsheba. But everything else David did, he always asked for forgiveness. He always sought redemption. He always forgave and gave second chances. And I think here, the story of Hezekiah, says, Hezekiah asks for a second chance. Hezekiah said, pleads, for I'm not ready. Let me live a little longer. And he weeps bitterly. And then, and the Lord tells Isaiah, go back and, say, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father. I think that's kind of a nice tie in there. The relationship that God and David, David being a man after God's own heart, David gave second chances, and God also gives second chances. The God of David, your father, offers you a second chance. He will heal Hezekiah and protect the city for his own sake, and again for David's sake, because David was that man after God's own heart, and Hezekiah was his heir. Right, moving on to a third example of second chances. This is one of the ultimate second chances in Genesis 8:21, which is the second chance for mankind. The Lord flooded the world, and Noah and his family were saved. They were the only ones saved. And Noah got out, and first thing he does is he offers sacrifice to the Lord. And so in Genesis 8:21, when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. Okay, so again, God offering second chances, and this is an older example than the other one, to man. Even though the intentions of man's heart is evil from his youth, God will give him the chance to rectify his ways, to make good on that second chance. Not take that second chance and use it as a bolt to shoot back, but take that second chance and use it to make good on that offer of a second chance. Now back real quick to the story of in Zechariah. The man in the myrtle tree is the name I gave my presentation here. The man in the myrtle trees was the guy that kind of said, I assume the only myrtle trees I'm familiar with are crepe myrtle trees. And when I did a little research online, those were definitely the most prolific example of myrtle. I just did a search for myrtle, and crepe myrtle is the one that comes up. And on the screen now, those are rose petals, not crepe myrtle. But the idea of the setting there in Zechariah, you got this man in the myrtle trees, and you got these horses. I kind of pictured in my head as this peaceful vision. Sometimes you may have heard of the cherry blossoms in Japan, where the season comes and the cherry blossoms are just everywhere, and then the wind blows and you got these cherry blossoms everywhere. I couldn't find a good video of that, but just an amazingly beautiful, peaceful, serene kind of thing. Just these blossoms floating on the wind, they're maybe eddying and curling around. And I kind of see the vision of Zechariah a little bit like that, and maybe not, but that's how I'm seeing it. How this man is in the myrtle trees, and maybe you got these fluffy pink myrtle blossoms, crepe myrtle blossoms, floating down around him. And the message at that time is, again, Zechariah 1 and verse 10. So the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered, these are they whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth remains at rest. I kind of see, again, the idea here. The whole world is at peace. Everything is at rest. Everything is at a peaceful, beautiful time. And this is the time that the God says, okay, Judah, you have your chance. This is your second chance. I have everything in a clean and pristine state for you. There's not a lot of problems going on. What is going on? The problems that are happening, we're going to make sure those are rectified. We're going to give you new land. He says, he said a little later on that those who have wronged you are going to be wronged. The people that go back into Jerusalem, that'll be my home again, and it's going to be a prosperous town. Everything is going to be great. This is your second chance. Don't mess it up. We have the continuation of that. Don't mess it up. In Second Chronicles, again, it's confirmation that in future chances, we have the man in the myrtle tree saying everything's good. You're gonna have the second chance at a future, at a kingdom of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 6, 19 through 21. Yeah. Excuse me. I believe this was Solomon at the dedication of the temple. He says, Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, the Lord my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eye may be open toward this house day and night, toward the place of which you have said that you would put your name there, to listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray toward this place. Listen to the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from your dwelling place from heaven. Hear and forgive. And the idea, Solomon went through this great flowery speech, about how the temple couldn't be a resting place for God. No matter how great the temple was, it was not great enough to contain God. It's not great enough for God to make his own, to make his house, make his dwelling place. And yet Solomon says, please have regard for the prayers of your servants, and when we pray towards this house, remember us, think about us, and keep the righteous in mind. The prayer of the righteous supplicant, of the supplications of your servant. But the people of Israel, when they pray to this place, listen, keep us in mind, because there are going to be times where we need you. Which kind of leads me into a parable from Jesus in Matthew 18. And this is a parable of a man who owes a great debt. Matthew 18:23, a man given a second chance. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Again, that's about as good a second chance as you can have. Israel, given a second chance, God said, okay, we're at a time of peace. Make good with it. We have here the story of this master and the servant. And the master says, your debts are due. And the servant says, oh, no, please, no. And the master says, okay, I'm wiping the slate clean. You're forgiven your debt. Go and do likewise. We're told in places. Jesus says, go and do likewise. And so what's the servant do? Most of us are familiar with the story, but the parable continues. He tells his servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And this is where I have the that picture, which doesn't make as much sense in this context as that context. But the idea there, that we all have an opportunity for a second chance, as I'll get to here in a second. We all have second chances in our life. Whether it's a second chance at work, you mess up and the boss gives you a second chance, or whether it's a second chance at home or life, or maybe you have a great illness and you get a second chance, or maybe you have an illness and you have an opportunity for a second illness. That's a great second chance. Either way, we all have these second chances, and we all need to make good on it. Israel, again, in Zechariah, was told, you have this great second chance, make good on it. Don't mess up, live in the land, and prosper. Otherwise, game over, try again. Most of us have played some kind of a game. When you get to the end of the game, well, usually you don't get to the end of the game. When you get to the point where your game is over, it says, try again. Insert another coin to continue in the old arcade days. Or press start to continue nowadays, because who goes to the arcade anymore? The game over. Try again. Give one more chance. The debtor there in the parable of Matthew, the master said, game over, you get one more chance. And he did, and he messed up worse than the first time. We definitely have a chance to, we definitely have the opportunity of a second chance. The New Testament's all about. The Old Testament was about the second chances of Israel. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. However many chances you want there. Israel had them all. God said, do this and everything's gonna be good. And Israel said, okay, never mind. And God said, okay, we've gone through that. Punishment's done. Do this and everything will be good. Okay, never mind. We have that same opportunity. God has set a clear precedent of offering second chances and third chances and fourth chances. This is as David did with Saul there. This is David did in many of his dealings. So the Lord does in his dealings. He set down these rules and regulations and said, you do these and I'll follow through on my end of the bargain. You follow your end of the bargain. You get Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is our second chance. I was going to say something about what Chuck read in 1 Peter, but now I don't remember what it was. But the idea there was along that similar idea there. Jesus gave his life. He gave us his grace and gift, and that is our second chance. That is the beauty that is our second chance. The petals falling, the wind blowing, the crepe myrtles or the rose blossoms or whatever, and just a beautiful scene, maybe slow motion, the petals falling down. That is the opportunity we have in our second chance. I have one more passage here from Psalm 34:13-19. I don't remember who this was by. It was maybe Asaph or something like that. Anyway, Psalm 34:13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. So we have the idea, I've tried to skirt around it and be a little bit on the idea there, but we have the idea that the Lord offers a second chance. We all have our second chances. We've all been explicitly told we have a second chance in the resurrection of Jesus, in the death, blood, and the resurrection of Jesus, the beautiful grace that is offered to us. We all have that second chance. And as the psalmist said there in Psalm, the Lord will listen to our supplication. We need to keep ourselves pure and righteous and make the best of the opportunities we have, of the second chances, of the third chances, because when we fail, the Lord will listen to our prayers. He's promised us those second chances and third chances and whatever else we need to make our lives right. So we have an opportunity now for anybody who has not yet taken up the Lord's offer on that second chance or maybe a third chance or a fourth chance to finally set ourselves on the right path, to say, I see the beauty in the blossoms. I see the man in the myrtle trees. I see that the Lord has set up something great and something perfect and something peaceful and pleasant for me. And I'm going to take him up on that offer. I'm not going to throw away this opportunity. So if there is anyone who has not taken that opportunity or needs to take it again, we offer that opportunity for that second chance, the peaceful life that God does promise to us in the end, as we stand and bend leads us in a invitation song.